God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where we begin our sermon is with the fourth verse of Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is the beginning of our texts and raises a question. Of course it does. So delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Does that mean that God will give you what your heart desires, or that he will give desires, new and different desires, that he will then fulfill? What do you think? The second one, right? Yeah, because the scripture tells us how God gives the new heart. And so with that in mind, what do you want? What are the desires of your heart? And then we go scattering all through the Bible. You know, we've set down the theme, and now looking at it from different angles, and you go into the Old Testament, and you hear the people of Israel saying, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. There was fish that cost nothing." Wait a minute, cost nothing? You know what the fish actually cost? You're slaves, and you're going to work without pay, but now the fish costs nothing. Fair trade? Hardly. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. What do they want? They're looking backwards. They're walking with God, who is leading them. Pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, mighty acts, amazing things, miracles happening. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. This book of Numbers. They've been to Mount Sinai and seen all of that, and they're on their way to the Holy Land. And they're looking back, regretting what they've left. That's foolish. That's so foolish, Christians wouldn't ever do that. We wouldn't ever regret the things that we set aside to be Christians and live for God and walk with Jesus Christ. We'd never regret the things that we... Oh, wait a minute. Does that ring true? Because we have this old sinful nature that doesn't like to be dragged and pulled out of the sin. And isn't that strange? So what do we want? Looking forward or looking behind? And then you get, further on in the Old Testament lesson, Joshua, "My Lord, stop them!" Because somebody was prophesying, being given the Spirit of the Lord. And what does he want? He wants to have the power and authority all centralized in Moses' hands. Surely in the New Testament, the disciples wouldn't think like that, would they? "Lord, we saw somebody doing miracles in your name. We tried to stop him." Well, there's a theme here. What do you want? What do we truly desire? And then, Jesus talks about the imaginary Pharisee, because he hasn't named one there. What does he want? Does he want to do good works? Well, no, not really. He wants for God above and for the whole human race to acknowledge that what he's done is good and righteous. That's what he wants. But then Jesus holds him up and begins actually, there's some ridicule here. Philosophy and argumentation term is called reductio ad absurdum. He takes the position that the guy stands in, and he says, well, what's the next step, and the step after that? And he pushes it until it looks absolutely ridiculous. You want to live the righteous and holy life? Well, did your hand cause you to sin? You know what you got to do then? Take it off. Was your foot involved in walking to a place of sin? Walking you into something you should not have done? Cut it off. How about your eye? Has your eye ever looked at something it shouldn't? Gouge it out. What happens if you live that way? You get a nickname. You know, the nickname of the Pharisee who follows through all of that logically, you know his nickname? They call him Stumpy. Because if you slice off all the parts of you that have been involved in sin, there's not much left. And still you haven't solved the problem, because what is the real problem? The real problem is the heart, which is deeper than the thing that beats in your chest. The heart, that means the deepest part of you, the beginnings of your whole self. And if we are born in sin, that part is sinful still. How do you get rid of that? And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, God says, I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And then we will believe his words and treasure his promises. In the New Testament, Jesus talks to Nicodemus and tells him, you must be born again. And throws the mystery right into the mix. How can I be born again? Well, you can't do it. How then can I be born again? It is God with his words, speaking his words down deep into your heart and soul, that restarts you and makes you new. And then we get back to the psalm. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And there's a new heart and new desires. And we've been circling around for a while and back into the center. So, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Verse here. Father, I want them to be with me and to see my glory. That's his last prayer, last petition on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, I want them to be with me and to see my glory. Single-minded, absolutely one desire in the heart. So much so that you can take the Old Testament verse, therefore I have set my face like flint. Straightforward, straight to something. Or the verse from one of the Gospels that said he had set his face toward Jerusalem. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And Jesus goes there. That's the first lap around and back in. Now the second one. This is a bit more difficult. What happens then in this life? And it happens. It happens more times than we want to think about. It happens that somebody living a life in devotion to God or in dedication to their family gets to a certain point in their life, and it is time that much of that is going to be lost. That happens through illness. That happens through problems in life and things turn. It happens through, what did we see a couple weeks ago? A hurricane sweeping on shore and wiping out people's life savings. What happens if you're one of those that has dedicated themselves to God and yet this has happened and it's gone? What then? I've struggled with this because, around our country there are pastors who go through this, living lives of dedication to God, and then somebody in their congregation starts a whisper campaign, and over a number of years, their reputation is destroyed, the ministry is destroyed. I recently watched it happen somewhere in this general area. And the fellow steps down because there's nothing left to do. He lived his life in dedication to God. He devoted year after year after year to serving people, to loving, to praying for them, to being there in their time of trouble, and now it's gone. How do you sort that out? And over years of watching this happen, I've had some times of very serious thinking. And the conclusion I come to is, if you thought it was yours, all these things that you were doing, and was yours to claim and yours to boast about, then when it is lost, that's overwhelming. But if you look at it in a different way, and to that pastor and to the many pastors who've gone through this, who were you serving? What did you want? Was it for Jesus? Was it for the kingdom of God? All of these good and beautiful things offered to God as an offering of your life. If it truly was for Jesus, then it is offered up. If it truly is for Jesus, then it's not yours to begin with. It is given to Christ from the beginning. And if you can look back and say, that was a time that was offered to Jesus, and the sacrifice, that part of my life, those years, or the loss, or the suffering, all of that is an act of worship and dedication and devotion to Jesus. Then it is an eternal thing that is something that is to the praise of God and will never be forgotten in the kingdom of God and before God and the angels. And that's circling around the topic. And now to go back into the middle. And who is it? Who is it that has set that out in front of us in the most vivid and dramatic way possible? The one who said, therefore I have set my face like flint. The one who said, I gave my back to those who strike, my cheek to those who pull out the beard. The one who from all eternity had done works of love, devotion to his Father, and dedication and caring for us human beings. And all of that in a matter of hours was taken away. He has glory. He gives it up. He has eternal life. He lays it down. He has a life of incredible good works. He is treated as a criminal and beaten and spit on. He has strength and he has joy. He goes to the place where his strength is drained away and there is nothing but darkness. But in the middle of that, here comes the verse. It's from Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here comes the verse back from the psalm. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the desires of his heart have always been and will always be exactly this: your soul living forever. You, with Jesus, seeing his glory and living to all eternity with him. And everything brings us back to this one truth, and it is the truth of Jesus and his love and his devotion for you, his love and his devotion to his Father, who wants for you to be brought into eternal life. And Jesus will do anything and everything, including he laid down his life for you. In Jesus' name, amen.